The following program is sponsored by Protecting Your Retirement.
Good morning and welcome to Protecting Your Retirement. I am Joy Peterson along with your host, Don Wales, and we're here every Saturday to help you navigate a successful retirement journey. And today we're going to talk about a little bit of that and what it takes to have a successful retirement journey.
Yes.
When it comes to fixed index annuities and annuities like we do almost every Saturday.
You know, I just had a thought when you were saying that what does it take to have a successful retirement journey? And really the answer is among our clientele who have already retired, or some of them didn't even come to us until they were retired, and then we helped them adjust and make changes so that things are successful and will last, mainly lifetime income. But we are not allowed under regulations to have testimonials on our show and or even in our advertising. And just about any other service or product type business, you know, they can do testimonials.
Oh, yeah.
We're not allowed to do it because if someone says, oh, I made 11% last year on that annuity that Wales sold me, and then someone picks up that number and they think, oh, that's what they do.
Right. That's, you know,
that's
what I want to
guarantee. And then it doesn't occur, or there are just so many variables to the outcomes on what we do. We are allowed to say that a fixed annuity has no market risk. You will never, ever lose money because of a downturn in the market.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are some basic parameters, but I can't call Jim and Jane, you know, and say, hey, come on in and help us do the show this week.
And talk about what we've done for you or any of those things.
What we've done for you. And we've actually had offers. We've had people that offered to go on the show or to write things we could put on our website. And we even have to monitor things like Yelp and
Google search or any of those kind of things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You have to monitor Yelp and make sure that there are no kudos, you know, no good news about you showing up, because
gosh, that makes it hard.
If they get an inkling that you were behind it or something, you know, then we're in trouble.
Hmm.
And so if you like us, tell us. Okay.
We'll be happy to hear
tell
from you.
Tell your friends.
Right.
But don't put it on the media. Okay. It's just as much as we love it.
Well,
love the compliments.
And I think part of that goes back to when you say successful retirement journey, that it doesn't, there's no one size fits all for that.
Absolutely not.
Everybody has a different idea of what success is for them. You know, maybe it's that you want to retire and have more time with the grandkids. Maybe it's you want to retire and start a new business.
And it's
not
a level of money.
Of
it really isn't. Well, it is for each family, each situation. But I have seen probably, I don't know, this year, maybe a dozen situations where a client or a client family has a small amount of money, very modest amount of guaranteed income, sometimes a bulk of it from Social Security and or other pensions. But these people have always lived frugally. And, you know, I've had people with, $2,000, $2,500 a monthly income coming into a household, the debt-free, and they're still saving money each month. I'm thinking, then I look at what's going through my accounts each month and saying, I don't know if this would work for me.
Mm-hmm.
But
well,
it does
some
work
people
for people.
Who do that.
That's
they
a successful
downsize.
Retirement. Yeah.
Yeah, they downsize into a smaller home that they've owned. They've paid off completely. They're not looking at getting a new vehicle anytime soon or anything like that. So, you know, it just depends on what you want for your future.
Sure.
When you were talking about having a modest amount, and we've said this several times on the show, is there a minimum to come in and talk to Protecting
Absolutely
Your Retirement?
Absolutely not. We don't know usually who the people are that are coming in.
Mm-hmm.
We know their name and a contact telephone number in case we need to adjust the appointment or, you know, but we don't ask your age, your name, your amount of money. I keep saying that almost every week.
Mm-hmm.
And so when someone comes in and they have a modest amount or if they have a really large amount, we don't know that ahead of time. So they all get invited to sit at the same table and the same little bamboo cup of pens and pencils and same number of legal pads that are there available for anyone to take notes that wants to. They get the same little thing to clean off the cell phone with our name on it, mm-hmm. so they see our name frequently. You know, we're not dividing them up, you know, by category. And anyway, no, there is no minimum to see us. Some of the fixed annuities that we recommend have minimum amounts of premium, but really, they're not too scary either. We have some that, if you're just going to put in money on a periodic basis, like an automatic draft against a bank account, mm-hmm. they can start with about $2,000. Generally, the bells and whistles, the full-blown fixed indexed annuities that have really good caps, upfront bonuses, flexibility of getting money back out, a lot of them start at $5,000, some $10,000. Have one company that on certain products, they have a $20,000 or $25,000 minimum. But generally, the people that those type of fixed annuities appeal to, that's not a problem either mm-hmm. for them. And we can do a lot of flexibility, a lot of choices, very fair rates of guaranteed growth on lifetime income factors with not a lot of minimum. Obviously, the results at the far end are not going to be proportionally, they're going to be identical.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, if you come in with $10,000 versus $100,000, you know, in 5-10 years out, you say, I'm going to turn this into an income or I'm going to walk away, it's going to be 10 times different.
Mm-hmm.
But
now, you said something about, you know, if you had a smaller amount of money and you were looking for something that kind of acts like a CD. We're going to talk about that a little bit later in the show. But I know a lot of people maybe they do have a CD that's coming due and they want to find something with a little better rate. And they can come in and talk to you about that.
They certainly can. And we're seeing a lot of that lately. And I just love it when I have middle-aged or senior citizens who have been gathering certificates of deposit and never harvesting them.
Right.
I don't even want to use that word. They've been gathering certificates of deposit all their lives, and maybe they also have some of those E-bonds, the double E's, you know, because of the safety and the security. And I'll ask them, when was the last time you actually cashed out a CD and used the money for anything? Oh, no, that's a rainy day. We never cash them out.
There's never been a rainy day.
We just keep them. They're there for the kids or the grandkids. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're making, you know, 0.5% or 0.75% on them. I said, well, you know.
We can do better than that.
We're going to talk about that
very
shortly today. And, you know, and the same type of safety is available. Anyway.
Now, I had a question. This came up in a conversation that I had earlier this week. And as we get into the program, I know we'll focus a little bit more on what is a fixed indexed annuity. But can you just briefly, what's the difference between a fixed indexed annuity and a variable annuity? I know there's market risk in the variable annuity.
There is.
But how does that, I mean, what's the main difference?
A fixed annuity is a fixed obligation, a legal obligation or a liability of an insurance company back to you.
Mm-hmm.
They owe you the preservation of your money. They owe you the liquidity of your money. There is no market risk. When you go into a fixed annuity or a fixed index annuity, the insurance company deposits most of that money in long-term investment-grade bonds. Some of them that are owned by private equity firms get a little less strict on what they deposit the money in, and we kind of avoid those companies. But in a fixed annuity, the money that you put in and what it earns will never go backwards because of the market, okay? In a fixed indexed annuity, the money you put in and what it earns keep going forward whenever the market is good. When a market index changes value upward from point to point, calendar point to calendar point, then you get interest credited on your fixed indexed annuity. When the market goes down, you don't lose. Now, let's talk about variable annuities. A variable annuity, the money that you deposit goes into a group of investments, usually mutual funds.
Mm-hmm.
And as the mutual fund grows, the value of your annuity grows. As the mutual fund or the stock falls, the value of your annuity also falls. So the obligation of the insurance company to you is variable. It is not fixed. They are not expected to have a dollar for every dollar you've deposited on hand because the money's in the market. It's going up and down. I like to describe a variable annuity as an annuity in a shrink wrap.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it can either shrink or expand. And I just don't like variable annuities. They also have a lot of fees. And the reason they have a fee involved is that the insurance company has made certain promises about guaranteeing you a certain level of income
right.
in the future. And if the money you put in is no longer there or has diminished, they have to have a way to get that income when you call on it. And the way they get it is almost like buying life insurance or hedges or options, so that when you get time to draw out that money, or if they've guaranteed that your death benefit will always be a certain amount, but the money that you put in is no longer there, it's been lost to the market, they've got to come up with that, and they charge a fee for that. Very, very typical to see fees in the 4%
mm-hmm.
a year. That means you've got to make over 4 points a year before that annuity grows even a penny. And so we don't like variable annuities. We don't always try to replace them. There are some good features sometimes, or there are ways for you to take advantage of the man, the company, if they have a strong guarantee. We sometimes encourage you to stay with it and don't wiggle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but usually we don't sell them, never have, and never will.
If you would like to come in and set up a one-on-one appointment with Don and the team at Protecting Your Retirement, the number to call is 913-648-2700, the website protectingyourretirement.com. Coming up, we're going to talk about CDs and annuities and how you can make more with an annuity than a CD. That's up next on Protecting Your Retirement.
Hey, honey, it looks like you missed opening this piece of mail from our financial guy.
Ugh, I thought it was your turn to open that one.
Oh, man, it looks like our mutual funds and those hot stocks he said to buy have dropped again. If this keeps up, we'll both be working all our lives. Just look at this.
Oh, and looky here. His fee is still 0.5 for the quarter. You know that's 2% a year he's charging us to mismanage our money.
That's enough. It's time to call for our appointment with Don Wales, the Protecting Your Retirement guy we hear on the radio every Saturday. His strategies are designed to keep your money safe no matter what the market does. If it's up, your money grows. But if it's down, you don't lose any. Don can also show how to have an income you can't outlive, and he doesn't charge fees.
Call Don Wales and start protecting your retirement today. 888-648-4060. That's 888-648-4060.
Thank you for listening to Protecting Your Retirement. I am Joy Peterson along with Don Wales, and we're here every Saturday to help you navigate a successful retirement journey. And remember, if there's something that you hear on the show that you have a question about, or if you want to make an appointment, the number to call is 913-648-2700. We mentioned in the last segment that for somebody who has a CD or is looking to invest in a CD, because sometimes you do, you have some extra money and you want to keep it safe and you want it to grow. A lot of people have turned to CDs over the years, but they're not producing like they used to.
Well, no, interest rates have been historically low for a historically long period of time.
Right.
And they haven't been getting much better. And so certificates of deposit are not paying what they used to. You know, one thing I find interesting, too, is that people have certificates of deposit or have money market accounts.
Right.
And they're similar. The certificate of deposit is timed deposit where you promise to leave the money there for a certain period of time. If you don't, you pay an interest penalty, whereas a money market account isn't really a time account, but you have some limitations on liquidity. In other words, you can't just draw out money every day, you know, and there are some limitations if you want to get to slightly higher rate of interest. I haven't heard the word savings account in a long time. I think everyone's either got a money market account, a money market fund, which is a mutual fund, Or certificates of deposit.
That might be because sometimes there are banks that charge you money to have a savings account now.
Yeah. But Americans love certificates of deposit, but fixed rate annuities, which function like CDs, usually pay a significantly higher guaranteed rate, and they offer tax deferral. So there are two advantages to go into a fixed annuity, also known as a multi-year guarantee annuity. One is higher rates than a certificate of deposit, and number two is tax deferral. Now, if the money is IRA-type money, you have tax deferral anyhow, so that's not an advantage. But if it's money that is after-tax money or just money you've saved, inherited, gotten from the sale of property or assets, it's never been in an IRA or employer plan, when you have it in an annuity, you do not pay income tax on the interest earned every year. You only pay it when you finally cash out of the annuity. Now, the main ways that fixed-rate annuities beat certificates of deposit are substantially higher rates, sometimes more than a third higher. We actually have them much higher than that. Recently, and this article was December 7th, 2017, the highest-paying five-year CD was recently yielding 2.45%. And believe me, that was not at any of the local banks here.
But no.
Because we've checked them. The highest-paying five-year CD was 2.45%. The highest-paying five-year annuity with an A-rated company was 3.30%. That's 34.7% more interest. The top three-year CD was paying at the bank 1.85 versus 2.15 for a top comparable annuity. That's 16.2% advantage. Now, we have these rates, and some of them change monthly, and they don't all change on the same day of the month. So to find out what you can have on a multi-year guarantee annuity, call our office, make an appointment. We're not quoting rates over the phone. We just don't do that. We do want to meet you face-to-face and get to know you and all that, and we don't do any arm twisting. Now, the second advantage I mentioned at the beginning of this topic is tax deferral. All CD interest is subject to federal and state income tax annually, even when it's reinvested and compounded in CD. So if you have a certificate deposit, it earns $500 of interest, and you just leave it there, you still pay income tax on it. You haven't taken it out, you haven't enjoyed it yet, or haven't spent it yet, and yet you still pay an income tax on it. A fixed annuity is tax deferred. You will not receive an annual 1099. You will not pay tax on the interest until you withdraw it. Now, you say, okay, I'll do a 3 or 5 year fixed annuity, and after 3 years or 5 years, I'll pay tax on what it's grown. Well, not really, because what you can do then is roll it into another annuity. That is called a Section 1035 exchange, and you don't pay tax yet on the interest. You just shift it over the principal and the interest you've earned over into another annuity, and you keep deferring the tax. And you can do that over and over. You don't have a limit on how often you can roll over to another annuity to continue the tax deferral.
Now, is this one of those that at age 70 and a half or 71 and a half that you have to take the money out of?
No, you don't. If it's an IRA, you have to start taking money out at age 70 and a half. If it's non-IRA, also known as non-qualified money, I don't like that term, but that's what it is, or after-tax money. If it's non-IRA, you don't have to do anything with it. Actually, if it's Roth IRA, pay tax anyhow on your interest. So tax deferral doesn't apply when you hold an annuity in an IRA because those accounts are already tax advantage. But on a non-IRA money, if you have it in an annuity, you can swap it when it matures for another annuity and just keep doing that until maybe you find out that you're in a real low tax bracket, or maybe you leave it to someone anyone who inherits a annuity that has interest built up, then they have to pay the income tax on that interest. But they're also getting the principal that you put in tax-free.
Sure. Now, what about, we've talked about this with some of the other death benefits. Does it have to go through probate if you have a multi-year fixed annuity?
Well, annuities with beneficiaries named do not go through probate.
Okay.
So there's no probate, no public record of what you left, you know, little Ginny or whoever.
So if you were saving this to leave to your heirs, that would be a good way to do it.
Yeah, it would have the heirs' names as beneficiaries, and there'd be no probate. They own it as soon as you're done. Mm. And so another factor that comes in here is for some retirees that are in a modest or a lower middle income range, when they have certificates of deposit and they're paying interest on paying tax on the interest every year, that raises their adjusted gross income. That also raises the amount of their Social Security benefits that are taxable. So if you have a large amount of money in certificates of deposit or savings accounts, money market accounts, and the interest being earned is boosting up your tax return, it's also costing you to pay more income tax on your Social Security benefits. So another reason to get off the CD train, get on the fixed annuity train, and the annuities are guaranteed by the life insurance company that issues them, whereas the certificates of deposit are insured by FDIC or there's a similar organization that serves the credit union industry. So consider 16 to 35% higher rate of interest, tax deferral, maybe less tax on your Social Security benefits because the annuity and interest will not be reported till you cash it out. And, you know, it's just a way to make more money on your money and pay less to Uncle Sam currently. Obviously, at some time in the future, somebody's going to pay. The annuities, people say, well, what's the downside? An annuity has a greater penalty amount if you break into it at an earlier time. But we've been talking about 3 and 5 year multiple year guarantee annuities. We actually have a very good life insurance company that has a 1 year fixed annuity. Right now, they're paying 1.5%. And we can, if we had enough people come in the door, we could write that little contract every day. And the same companies have all the other terms up to about 10 years. Most companies run from 2 or 3 years out to 10. We have a real wide variety of choices. Some of those you can draw off the interest every year if you want. Some of them you can actually dip into the principal without any penalty or surrender charge. Some of them you can, if you have enough money in there to satisfy you, you can eventually convert the balance into a guaranteed income. So we have a lot of flexibility. Modern day fixed annuities, they're simply not grandma's annuities. They're good for grandmas now.
Right. But they're different than maybe grandma's grandma.
Yeah, the grandma that worked for the school district at one-room schoolhouse. Mm-hmm. When she retired, they gave her an annuity from the school board, and she'd get $50 or $100 a month for life. And when she stopped, it stopped.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our modern-day fixed annuities, most of them have a beneficiary feature, so that if all of the money that you put in and all the money it's earned are not used by you, it will be used by someone that you designate as a beneficiary. We very, very rarely see someone who says, I don't like anyone, and so I don't
think
want
of,
anything
not
left
even a
over
charity or anything like
the
that.
Dog pound or anything.
Right.
So anyway, I did have a guy tell me that one time, and we ended up not doing business.
Mm.
But not because I didn't like the fellow, it's just, you know, there's room to list beneficiaries on the paperwork, and you know, we can't leave it blank.
Right. Because you do have people who look these over, and there's people who look at suitability. There's people that look at, you know, the beneficiaries. They want to make sure that nobody's doing anything underhanded or, you know. If you wouldn't come in and talk to Don about a multi-year fixed annuity, the number to call is 913-648-2700, the website protectingyourretirement.com. For a lot of people going into retirement, or maybe they are right now, a big issue for them is bankrolling the kids. How to get off that train, we're going to talk about it coming up next on Protecting Your Retirement.
It's late, we got to get on home. It's late, we've been gone too long, too bad. We should have checked our time, I know he's going to be mad. It's late, we got to get on home, it's late. We've been gone too long.
Welcome back to Protecting Your Retirement. I am Joy Peterson along with Don Wales. We appreciate you spending part of your Saturday with us. It's a busy time of year.
It is,
you know,
all the holidays.
All the holidays going on.
Preparation, shopping, and I have
lots
done
of shopping.
Almost zero.
Really?
Yeah. And I heard as I walked into the studio this morning that all Joy has to do is get the stocking stuffers.
Yep, that's
and
it.
I just barely touched the surface.
Really?
I haven't even gotten on, you know, the internet, you know, do the internet shopping. I have three children. They're all married and all have kids. And one of them offered to do the shopping for the stuff from Papa and then deliver the items to my home where I will see them, wrap them, and write the cards and all that. I thought that was so great. And you know, they do that. But normally, the last few years with all the internet shopping, they'll give me a list of what the right sizes and age-appropriate stuff for me to get to
things
kids.
Things that the kids have been
And they'll
asking
even
for.
Send me a link, you know, to Amazon or wherever it's coming from. So I sit there late at night when the stores are closed, you know, and do my shopping. I just love doing that.
Well, and I'll be honest.
Have it all delivered to the office, just secure.
We did all of our shopping online this year.
Yeah.
All of it. I mean, that's becoming a new thing, I think. Yeah. You know, a lot of people are doing that online.
I noticed that the Sears Roebuck store is all boarded up on Metcalf. And, you know, sorry, I guess some of that's due to online shopping, but
it's
you got to adjust to the times.
Yeah, exactly. It's easy. And when you don't have a lot of time, but it also can be very dangerous because you're sitting there, like you said, at the late night and like, ooh, I think I need one of those.
It's not that late.
Oh, okay. But it is the time of the year where we're spending lots of money on family. And,
right.
and that makes sense because we give gifts and things like that. What baby boomers especially are having problems with is that they're bankrolling their kids, their adult kids. And it's not just, it's not just at Christmas time. It's not just presents. It's not just gifts. This is like an everyday thing.
Right. And parents sometimes pay for their adult aged children's expenses, and it could be hurting their retirement. In fact, they might be missing out on a quarter of $1 million retirement savings.
A quarter
by
of
supporting
a
their adult children.
Oh my goodness.
According to an analysis by NerdWallet. And here it is. 80% of parents with adult children are paying or have paid for at least some of their children's expenses, according to a survey on the spending and saving habits of U.S. adults by Harris Poll on behalf of NerdWallet. Looking under the hood of that data, the survey found parents of adult-aged children are paying or have paid for the following. Now, this is 80%. Now, the 80% on are not doing all of this.
But they've done at least some of it.
Right.
But this is on average what's coming up.
56% of boomer-age parents are spending money on their adult-age children's groceries. 40% for health insurance. 21% are paying for rent or housing expenses outside of the family home. In other words, the adult-age children are living somewhere else. But Ma and Pa, or at least one of them, are paying for housing or rent, but not in the family home. 39% for the adult child's phone bill, and 34% for the adult child's car insurance. And the two most expensive costs are living expenses and college tuition.
Oh, that makes sense.
Now, and I don't, you know, we paid for kids' college tuition, supplied them with cars, gasoline, credit cards, mm-hmm. paid to rent to the houses they were living in away at campus. And don't regret it at all.
But there's something to be said for that. And I agree. Families should help each other. That's what family is there
sure.
for. But there's a difference between helping somebody and helping get a start, you know, with college.
And enabling someone.
If your yeah. adult child is in their almost 40s and you're still paying their cell phone bill, that may be a problem.
Right.
Let me rephrase that. That is a problem.
That is a problem. And the most expensive being living expenses, college tuition. Parents' retirement savings could be $227,000 higher if they chose to save that money, and I'm not talking about the college tuition, instead of putting it into their child's living or schooling expenses. That's according to NerdWallet. Andrea Combs, retirement and investing specialist at NerdWallet, said parents should run the numbers to figure out if they can actually afford to help their children with their expenses.
Mm-hmm.
Parents who need, this is a quote from Andrea Combs, parents who need to ramp up their savings rate should have a conversation with their children. Parents can let their children know they are at risk of financial insecurity later in life if they don't want to be a burden on their children, Combs said. She also said, and parents should ask their adult children to start pitching in on some of these expenses. It'll be good for the parents' retirement, plus it models to the children the importance of budgeting, saving, and planning for the future.
You know, I've used this analogy before, but I think it fits right here in what we're talking about. I always go back to the being on an airplane.
Mm-hmm.
When you're sitting there and they go through all the safety, all the safety rules and stuff like that,
right.
Your seatbelt and everything, they always tell you to put on your own air mask first
right.
before you do your children's. Because if you run out of oxygen, you can't help your child. If
right.
you run out of money, you can't help your child. You have to take care of yourself first.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I mean, hey, if you're rolling in dough and you can afford it, do mm-hmm. whatever you want to. But you cannot risk your retirement to fund your adult children.
Exactly. And we see it, you know, not with every client, but enough during the year we'll see situations where people have sat down and prepared a budget. They've listed their recurring expenses out about a month, about a year, and we see some pretty large amounts. And actually, I was a little surprised that NerdWallet's survey that said only 39% of parents were paying for adult children's cell phone bills.
Is that one you see a lot?
Yeah, we do. And,
well, that,
you know,
I guess
I
they
know
do
that,
have those family plans. So.
I know those family plans
yeah.
were invented by teenagers or maybe millennials. You know, and wow, we can get four lines for $100. I'll have to tell mom and dad about that.
Hey, mom, we're saving you money. But the thing is that makes sense when your kids are teenagers or whatever. Doesn't
yeah.
make sense when your kids are in their 50s.
And they have their own children.
Right.
Already.
Who are still on the plan. No.
Right. And, you know, every grandchild gets old enough for a cell phone. Grandma and grandpa are going to be, you know, footing a higher bill.
Right.
Or the dish and the cable.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to figure out the projected savings, that $227,000 we talked about, NerdWallet found the average of all those costs. They calculated the potential impact on the parents' retirement savings if they paid for their adult children's bills for 1, 3, or 5 years. And they assumed that instead the parents would put that money into a retirement savings account, like a 401k or an IRA, instead of paying for their kids. Interestingly, over half of all adults surveyed, meaning only those with adult children, said they're confident they're contributing enough to their retirement savings. And almost a quarter of parents saving for retirement expected children to help them financially in some way after they retire. That we see less often. Helping adult children foot the bill might not necessarily hurt parents in retirement, if they can afford to pay for everything, but paying for college, the phone bill, and groceries comes at the expense of retirement savings, parents will feel the pain later on in retirement.
I like the quote that she ended the story with, and it says, as parents, we tend to want to do everything we can to help our children succeed, but sometimes we focus on the present at the expense of the future.
Right.
And that's what we can't do.
And I think in all bad behaviors we see, whether it be addictive or consumption or hoarding, there's almost always someone in back of that bad behavior that is helping it happen.
Mm-hmm.
Enabling, I think, is a term they use. And I'm so blessed in my own family. We just don't have those situations. But, yeah, I talk to people on a weekly basis mm-hmm. that know of situations within their own families where people are providing everything, rent, housing, gas in the vehicles, and whatever comes along. And it's kind of a sad situation. And I think if you enable, then you're probably not teaching the adult age child or offspring the other good aspects of life, and that is taking care of someone else when they need it.
Well, and then so, when your adult child is at the age of retirement, what do they have? You know, they've never learned to save. They've never learned. Yeah, exactly. So
anyway, just, you know, a word to the wise and the people that need to get wise. You know, if you keep those kids on the payroll forever at the risk of your own retirement, obviously if you're wealthy, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do it at the risk of your own retirement, you're making a really big mistake. It's a mistake that will haunt a couple generations at least until somebody figures it out.
Well, the number to call if you want to come in and talk to Don, maybe you want to look at that budget and find some ways that you can save a little bit more to go into your retirement savings. The number to call is 913-648-2700, the website protectingyourretirement.com. Coming up next, we're going to talk about kind of the flip side of the spectrum,
right.
And we're going to talk about the cost of caregiving on Protecting Your Retirement.
You shake my nerves and you rattle my brain. Too much love drives a man insane.
If Don Wales had a fleet of Protecting Your Retirement vehicles, most likely he would have Serve and Protect stenciled on the doors, just like you see on many police cars. Why? Because at Protecting Your Retirement, they see each individual as unique and deserving of personal service, and they protect your retirement assets by only recommending financial choices that have no stock market risk. Don Wales will protect you as you navigate your financial journey. For a complimentary retirement review, call 913-648-2700. That's 913-648-2700. Protecting Your Retirement will make sure your retirement dreams and retirement nest egg work hand in hand. If you are concerned about the stock market stealing your retirement nest egg, call those who serve and protect the team at Protecting Your Retirement. For a complimentary retirement review, call 913-648-2700. That's 913-648-2700. Or visit protectingyourretirement.com.
This is Protecting Your Retirement. I am Joy Peterson along with Don Wales. And if you hear something on the program that you have a question about, or if you would like to come in and make an appointment, we know it's a busy time of the year, but you're still taking appointments.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All the way through the new year?
Yeah, not on the 25th or 26th.
Okay. Well, we'll give it that. But the number to call is 913-648-2700. We've talked about a lot on the program. We just finished up talking about keeping kids on the payroll. Now we're going to kind of focus on the other end. And there's a lot of people, baby boomers especially, mm-hmm. who have found themselves in a caregiver role.
Yes, certainly. And I was very surprised, I think, in my own family that I ended up being in the caregiving role. Not the physical care, but mm-hmm. organizing and paying for part of the care for my sister,
mm-hmm.
who is only 1 year older than myself, 1 year and a couple of days. And that's not a typical situation. Usually we end up being caregivers for our parents
mm-hmm.
if we're in kind of the sandwich generation, you know, the boomers. But a lot of people do end up either being caregivers or coordinators. And the latest news on caregiving, Merrill Lynch did a survey going inside financial caregiving and reveals it's not only expensive but pretty prevalent. Many aspects of caregiving have been previously studied. Financial caregiving remains largely unexamined. So Merrill Lynch did a study conducted in partnership with AgeWave, and it was called The Journey of Caregiving, Honor, Responsibility, and Financial Complexity, found out that 92% of caregivers say they also are financial caregivers, performing at least one aspect of financial caregiving during the caregiving journey. That does not mean they're all donating money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's go into it. Money may not be the first thing that comes to mind when we think about what caregivers do and who they are, the report states. But financial relationships are an integral and necessary part of caregiving, and they're part of almost every caregiving situation. According to the report, after 2 years of receiving care, 88% of care recipients are no longer managing their finances independently.
So in other words, you may not be the one who's flipping the bill, so to speak, but whatever assets your parents might have or a sibling or whoever now become your responsibility as well.
Right. The report defines financial caregiving as potentially two different roles. A financial contributor is a caregiver who pays for care, and a financial coordinator is a caregiver who oversees and organizes other aspects of the care recipient's finances.
Mm-hmm.
The financial coordinator would be maybe paying bills, managing investments, preparing taxes, handling insurance, and monitoring accounts.
Mm-hmm.
So these are all things that you kind of signed on as a caregiver for Ma, Dad, or grandparent, or a special needs relative or friend. But you also find out that you're writing out their checks, making mm-hmm. sure the bills are paid. The report also finds that financial coordination, not direct financial contribution, is the most common form of financial caregiving. According to the report, 88% of financial caregivers are financial coordinators, and 68% are financial contributors. And I know in my sister's case, she's now passed on, she was living in Florida in a senior condominium complex, had a really bad stroke, couldn't take care of herself. Neighbors were doing all of her laundry.
Mm-hmm.
They were cleaning her apartment. They were going to the nursing home and picking her up and taking her places when that was possible. We never really paid those people, but, you know, they weren't really taking care of her finances. She was smart enough to still do that, and I eventually took over. But they were spending time, you know, and gas, and, you know, most of the people there were using coin laundromat, you know, services. And I'm not sure if, you know, my sister ever gave them the coins or, you know, to take care of that, but they were coordinating, you mm-hmm. know, and doing things and probably contributing in small amounts. The financial contributor and coordinator roles are not always mutually exclusive. There's always overlap. According to the study, financial caregivers are responsible for a very wide variety of tasks, including paying bills from their recipient's account, monitoring bank accounts, handling insurance claims, filing taxes, and managing invested assets. Plus, caregivers spend an average $7,000 a year on that caregiving, which goes towards paying for personal, medical, and household needs. Many are contributing far more.
Well, I know even when my grandmother was in a nursing facility because she could no longer take care of herself, and my mom wasn't able to give her the care she needed as well, but she would go there. She would buy her things for her little apartment. You know, if she needed something, my mom was always there to do that. So even though she was in a full-time care facility, my mom was still doing some of those things for her. So she fell into that caregiver role.
Right. The report estimates that – this is going to maybe blow your mind. The report estimates that financial caregivers collectively spend an estimated $190 billion per year on their care recipients for out-of-pocket care-related expenses. Despite covering these hefty financial costs, the report finds there is little discussion of the ramifications. According to the study, 75% of financial contributors and their care recipients have not discussed the financial impact of these contributions. Mm-hmm. You just do it. And 66% of caregivers feel they could benefit from financial advice. So maybe if you're a caregiver for someone, whether or not you're dipping into your own assets or not, I'm not saying don't do it. I certainly did. But really looking at long term, when I am gone, there's going to be less money for my heirs because of what I dipped in to take care of my sister.
And let's make a distinction between this and the last segment, because we're talking about people who need help.
Absolutely.
As opposed to somebody who is just feeding off of you, so to speak. When it comes to your family that has needs that need to be taken care of, that's a whole different situation than somebody who you're just flipping
the
bill for.
We're in no way saying don't take care of your elders.
Right.
We're in no way saying don't take care of the special needs person in the family. The ones that are not elderly and don't have special needs, sometimes
they should be able to take care of themselves. That's the point.
You may have to cut them off, but not grandma.
No.
Not mom and dad.
No, that's part of being a family.
While some caregivers may feel compelled to contribute financially, not knowing how much they've spent makes it difficult to plan, and it has a ripple effect throughout their own lives, states the report. And again, this report was based on a nationwide sample of 2,200 respondents, including 2,010 of the respondents were caregivers. So I think they focused it pretty accurately if they picked up 2,200 respondents and 2,010 of them were caregivers. And of those 2,010, some of them were also contributing financially to the needs or the comfort of the people they were helping care for.
Mm-hmm. Well, Don, you were talking about sample groups and finding out what is going on when you break down the numbers. And we have another interesting story of a group of about the same amount, about 2,200 people.
Exactly.
But this one came from American Century Investment, and they took a group of their executives and did a Midwest tour. So they were probably in our home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They had a 45-foot-long tour bus. They stopped in six cities in five Midwestern states. They targeted local events where there were really big crowds, like the Chicago Marathon, Indiana University Homecoming, and a Financial Planning Association annual meeting in Nashville. What the riders found out after talking with thousands of people, including more than 2,200 people who took a three-question financial quiz, is how little people knew about financial markets, investments, and saving for retirement. 50% did not know the definition of a bull market.
Mm-hmm.
That's the stock market that's really been doing well for the last 10 years. That's called a bull market. And despite the focus on retirement, many people have no idea about how to calculate how much they need to save for retirement or the size of their own company's match for their 401k. A lot of education is needed. Very obvious when 2,200 people will stand in line, take a three-question quiz, and demonstrate that they really don't know a whole lot about planning for retirement.
And I think it's good that some of these companies like American Century Investment took people who are dealing with it every day. They right. probably figure that most of us know these things. Because exactly. they know it, so we should know it. But the point is that when you get down to just your average, everyday working person, we don't know what we need to do. And that is why protecting your retirement is here.
Right. It's why we, you know, the radio stations aren't paying us to do this. We're paying for the time to help educate the public on retirement planning. And most of the people listening will probably never come to us. We would hope they all would, but, mm-hmm. you know, that's a fact of life. More people listen and act. And so if you want to act and you want to act in a way where there are no fees and no pressure, why, give us a call.
And make that appointment. The number to call is 913-648-2700. The website, protectingyourretirement.com. That wraps it up for us this week. Next week, we're going to do something a little bit different because we are almost to Christmas.
Almost.
Yeah, so we're going to have
Christmas at Protecting Your Retirement.
Christmas at Protecting Your Retirement next week on Protecting Your Retirement.
The preceding program was sponsored by Protecting Your Retirement.